your hand this morning. Man, that's awesome. Praise God. God is faithful and good this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every morning, His mercy is renewed. Why don't you stand this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have a scripture for Labor Day today. All right? You didn't know there's a scripture for Labor Day, did you? But there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Look what he says. Praise the Lord. But by the grace of God, His favor, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. Aren't you glad for that? Man, His grace towards us, His favor is not in vain. Amen. But I labored. There's my scripture, guys. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace, the favor of God, the unmerited favor, which was what? With me. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. Come on. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's love, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn, give somebody a high five and say, hey, rest in Him today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. You may be seated. God's good, good, good. Amen. Jesus is our example of how a servant's heart is necessary for leadership. A servant's heart is necessary for leadership. If you're going to lead, you need a servant's heart. You need to have a heart of a servant. God doesn't place people, well, people get into leadership for all different reasons, but truly, a true leader has a servant's heart. Jesus came to serve. Jesus is the greatest leader I ever knew. There's some great leaders out there. You know, John Maxwell is considered the guru of leadership. Good guy, know John, been with him several times, but I'm telling you, Jesus is much superior than John. Jesus is the greatest leader. Jesus came to offer all of what He has to everyone, both male and female, and allow everyone to partake of His fullness. God wants you to partake of His fullness. He is full of grace and truth. God wants you to partake of His grace and truth this morning, His unmerited favor and His truth. Amen. He is full of that. He overcame the enemy when He died on the cross, went to hell, and was resurrected, and He wants us as His children to benefit from every aspect of that. Healing, prosperity, peace, joy. God wants you to benefit from everything that the cross has provided. Don't settle for anything less. Y'all still with me this morning? He has the advantage over darkness, sin, and the law. And He wants you to have the advantage. He has advantage over that. He wants you to have the advantage. You know, the preaching of the law, the ministry of the law is death. The preaching of grace, the ministry of grace is life. On Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost and on Mount Zion, 3,000 were baptized in the Holy Spirit and made alive. God wants you to live in the life. Amen? He doesn't want you living in the darkness. Come on, somebody. As the head of the church and as our ultimate servant provider, Jesus is the source of all our growth. He did not come to dominate us, but to provide for us by serving us. He is here to serve. That is His purpose. Are you listening to me this morning? Christ chose to share all His power and authority with us, and He did it in love. He chose to share that authority. You know you have authority today? As a believer, you have authority. You can speak to the winds and waves. We've done it many times. We've turned storms. Praise God. You have that power and authority. You know what happens when the newscast gets on and they start talking about a storm? You know what takes place? Everybody else starts talking about it. And there's power in words. And then believers just kind of sit there and, yeah, that's right. It's bad. It's looking worse. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. You don't take the authority that, and you do that with so much of life. Oh, it's bad. Yep, somebody says something. Oh, yeah. You walk into work one day and they say, you don't look too good, and you start agreeing with them. And before you know it, you're sick. You know, you have a power and authority that's in your mouth. Speak out that word. The power and authority is in your mouth. He put the word in your mouth to speak out that word against adverse things. Amen? That's why the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But you've got to open your mouth. You've got to take your authority. You've got to speak it out. And when people start agreeing, there's such power in agreement. That's why it's so important, if you're a married couple this morning, to stay in agreement. Hello? To stay in the place of agreement. Look what the Bible says, Matthew 18, 19. Look at this. Agreement is a place of power. When you're in agreement, there is power in agreement. Look what he says. Again, I say to you that if he didn't say three, he didn't say four, he didn't say five. Why does the enemy come against marriage so much? It's because of this verse right here. He knows that when you are in agreement, hello, there is power in that place, and as a couple, you overcome him. Grace is there for you to overcome. You need to be living in grace. Not only do you need to give out grace, you need to receive grace. Amen. And there's such power in agreement. There's power in unity. How good and how pleasant, the Bible says, for brethren to dwell in unity. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, they are all with one accord. They all had a Honda. Right? They're all with one accord. They're all in one accord. Boy, they're really packed in there, 120 of them. Wow, I'd like to sing that. Amen? But they were in the power and the place of agreement. It's when we get out of that place of agreement that we're subject to the attacks of the enemy. Stay in agreement with your spouse. Get in that place. God has designed a place for us to be in. When we get out of our grace place is when we get in trouble. When we get out of our grace place is when we get in trouble. God wants you to stay in your grace. God has gifted you with grace gifts, charis gifts. God wants you to operate in your gifting. A lot of times we see somebody and we say, we want that gift. That gift was not designed for you. God has given us gifts individually. Are you listening to me this morning? And God desires you to operate in your grace gift. Some of you would like to be Jeff. Ding, 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 ding. And you get up here and you can't be Jeff. He can barely be Jeff. It's by the grace that he is what he is. That's what Paul said. Amen. You know, some of you like to be up here and be jolly on it, but you can do it. You don't have the gift. And it makes a mess when you're out of your gift. Stay in your gifting, in your grace gift, in your area that God's designed. Amen? Yes, you can attain more. God will give you more. Stay in that gift. We had a woman one time at a church we pastored, and she thought she had all this anointing on her and to sing. And she got up one day, and I just kept saying, Pastor, I desire. We got good people up here. They can sing. Kay can sing. Jeff can sing. They can sing. Lori can sing. Lori wasn't up here this morning. She's had a little surgery going on, but she can sing. But this lady got up one Sunday morning, and she started singing, and it was like a cat crying. It was horrible. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, amen. And then she'd shake her hand like it was the anointing. You remember some of those days? People would shake their hand thinking the anointing was on them. And I'm going like, man, woo. It's like, Lord, help me, Jesus, amen. And I thought, she is not in her gift. And it was horrible. And people out there just kind of looking at each other, and they were snickering, you know. It's like, you know, it was horrible. Bless her heart, she embarrassed herself by not being in her gift. Turn to somebody and say, stay in your gifted area, you'll do better. Amen. You know what? And you'll bless people. Amen. Praise God. Stay in that gifted area. You know, some of you desire to sing. And you know, some of you that have that desire to sing, there is a scripture for you. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Right? So you just stay in that gifted area, right? Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1, 22, 23. There is such power in unity. Power in unity, guys. Amen. Stay in unity. Don't let anything come against the unity you have with the Lord and with other believers. You may not agree. High and I don't always agree, but we come back to the place of Jesus. And when you come back to the place of Jesus, it's going to be okay. Hello? After 33 years, there's been ups, downs, you know, just, you know, it's marriage, it's life, things happen. But you hang together. You hang out together. You hang together. In spite of what goes on, you hang together. You love one another. You support one another. Are you listening to me? He has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be the head over what? His position is the head. He is the head over us all. He is the head of the body of Christ. Amen? He is in that position. That position means he is leader over us all. When we start thinking about Jesus, he is servant leader. He's in that position of authority over us all. Amen? As a leader. When God placed man to be a husband, he placed him in a leadership capacity. His job is to guide, guard, and lead his home. Guide, guard, and lead. God wants you to be a guide for your home. God wants you to be a guard to your home, a protector of your home. You need to know what your kids are up to if you have kids. It's really quiet in this Presbyterian church. You need to know what your kids are up to, into, and you need to know who their friends are. You need to make your house a place where kids will hang out at your house. Let it be fun. Let it be full of grace. Let their friends say, I want to go to their house. Because why? Then you know what's going on. Right? Come on, Kay. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We always try to make it our house and have fun with the girls. You know, and we got such the most awesome grandsons. I've got two of them. And I just got a brand new one. He is the most awesome child. He's better than your grandson. I'm just saying. Amen. The name like Shepherd, he has to be better, right? Right? So, and no, I'm just kidding. It's good. We all love those kids. So listen to me. Which is the body of the fullness of him who fills all in all. God has filled us in our spirit with his grace, with his spirit, with his love. You are just filled in your spirit, man, this morning. Amen. It may not be in your soul yet, but I'm telling you, in your spirit, it is there. It's getting it out of that spirit and getting this soul to line up with what we have already in Jesus Christ. And you do that by getting in the Word and discovering what the Word says about you and identifying with that Word more than you identify with your feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Feelings, nothing more than, okay, y'all got it. He did not come, Jesus didn't, you know, you are a free moral agent. You have a choice. You have a choice. God gave you a choice. You have a chooser. You have a choice. You can choose to be sad. Say what? You can choose to be sad. You can choose to be glad. You can choose to be depressed. You can choose to be full of grace. You have a choice. Jesus didn't come to lord over us. He gave you a choice. You, as a married couple, you have a choice. You can hang in there when things get tough, or you can say, hey, I'm out of this place. You have a choice. God gave you that. Why? Because he loves you. And he wants you to choose wisely. Amen. He wants you to choose on his grace. So if you're married, you have a choice. You can stay in that marriage when hell breaks out, or you can say, I'm giving up on this thing and leave on. You have a choice. I want to tell you something. It's better to stay. It's better to stay and work things out, because when you do, you'll grow in grace. Yes, you'll grow in grace. When finances are hitting a wall or something happens, God says you'll grow in grace. Choose life. And by the way, God didn't hate divorce. God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate the divorcee. He loves you. If you've been through a divorce, God still loves you. Life's not over. Hello, don't get down there. Oh, God, life's over. That's the only one I could ever love. No. No, God's got somebody for you. Amen. No, you're not a second-class citizen. Some churches kick you out if you're divorced. You can't serve. You can't teach. You can't even be in children's church. No, you've been divorced. God loves you. He's got nothing but good for you. Get up and dust yourself off and go on. Hello? That's good teaching, Pastor. Jesus came to serve us. He came to position us to partake of his power and to share in all of his gifts. Amen? As a church, Jesus fills us so we can grow and develop and minister to others. You know, the greatest joy I have is seeing people raise up into ministry, whether it's up here doing ministry, where it's in children's church. You know, right now we're needing somebody to do youth as well. I mean, God's sending this wonderful couple, Jody. You guys got to get to know them. They are so sweet and going to help you guys out in children's church. What a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Got experience, been there. Jody's been laboring back. You know what? Jody, stand up a second. Yay! She has got so much Jesus in her. And Robin, where are you at? Stand up, Robin. Both you girls stand up. I want to give them both a hand. Amen. I love you guys. Amen. If you are called to children's church ministry, you are called. You are called. You have a gift. Amen. And they labor back there, and we've really said, you know, God, send us more people, and God sent us this beautiful couple in, said, we want to help out. We just want to serve. Amen. Put them to work, Jody. Get them going. Yeah, put them to work. You know, get them in ministry there. Amen. Praise God. She does. They do a great job. So the Bible says, Ephesians 4:15-16, says, speak the truth in love. Some people just can't handle that. Hello? They can't handle it. You know, only your friends tell you if you got spinach on your teeth. Right? Anybody's not your friend, they'll go on and not say anything to you. Only your friends tell you, and they'll laugh at you. But your friend will tell you when you got spinach on. Thank God, my wife said, baby, you got something right there. Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Why does she do that? Because she loves me. God loves you. Hello? And speak the truth in love. You love people. You know, a lot of times when I get up and I say something, don't take it. I love you. I want you to grow. Hello? I love you. So that we may what? Grow up into him in all things. Christ is the head, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. It is Jesus who causes us to grow and fit together. Isn't that awesome? Amen. As one. God desires to see us as one body. We can do so much more when we're in unity. Amen. You can do so much more as a couple when you're in unity, not bickering and fighting all the time. Come on, somebody. Amen. God is concerned that each of us, that each joint of the body of Christ operates in its fullest potential. Turn to somebody and say, don't get out a joint. And don't get out a joint. Just have to say that, right? Peace, man. Peace out, brother. Amen. You know, somebody looks at you the wrong way or didn't shake your hand. It's amazing how people are, you know, just walk in that soulless rim so much that, you know, oh my gosh, they didn't look at me right today. Well, who are you? Don't think of yourself so highly. That's what the Bible says. You know? So what? And then, you know, when we approach people, we don't know what's going on in their life. They may be going through something or got their mind on something else, and just because they didn't pay attention to you, you're going to get out of joint and cause a problem. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching right now. God wants each one of us to operate in our full potential. Kephale is the Greek word for headship. It also means the source of life. Jesus is our source of life. It doesn't mean rulership. It means source of life. Kephale embodies the spirit of servanthood in the same way that Jesus did when he gave his life as a ransom for many. Mark 20:28. Says Jesus gave his life, the head gave his life for the church. He laid down his life for the church that we might receive the fullness of his riches and grace. Isn't that awesome? Amen. He became death and poor that we might become rich of this fullness of grace. Christ is the head of the body. In that position, Christ is the head. In a marriage, Christ is, or the man is positioned as the head of that home. It's the position. Out of him, amen, out of him should flow the source of life to his family. The same way that Jesus provides to us, so should the man provide for his family. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. He says you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. The man is in that position to take care and provide for his family. And Jesus is the source of life to the man. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I'm saying. Jesus is the unending source of life to the man. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus is our originator and completer of our salvation. Our completion is in him, not in any mortal man. If you're single today, how many single women do we have in this place? Just raise your hand. Raise it up. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was single. How many single women? Wow. Well, if you're single, remember Boaz in the Old Testament? Wait for your Boaz. Somebody's going to be able to provide well for you. I told my girls before they got married, I said, listen, when you bring this guy over to my house, let me tell you something, baby, you have permission to look in his checkbook. I want to make sure that when he takes you from my house, that he doesn't bring you back except to visit. Hello? So you ladies, make sure you get a Boaz. If you don't, you'll get a dumbass. Yeah. Or a badass. Or whoop your butt ass. And you don't need any of those asses. As my friend would say, Jensen Franklin. Or a smart ass. You need a Boaz. So you wait, you know, it's amazing, you know, God is your supplier. God is your supplier. Ladies, you're gifted. We got a lady, I won't tell you who she is. She's single, and God has blessed her so much being single, probably better than when she was married. God has given to her. She's got houses, guys. What a blessing she is. And you know what? She's a giver. She gives to this church. She gives to this ministry. God's raised her up. There is nothing wrong with being single. When you're single, you can focus on Jesus and ministry. Hello? Nothing wrong with being single. Paul was single. I believe Paul was married at one time. He may have gone through a divorce. His wife may have left him because in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin court, it was required that you were married. But Paul was single. He said, hey, you know, don't seek a wife. Don't, you know, seek Jesus. God will bring that person into your life at the right time. Amen. You may walk into Sunday one morning here at the church, and all of a sudden, whoa. Bobby and Dutch, they start attending Karis. She lost her husband, and they start attending Karis. And, you know, Bobby's here. She's just so sweet. And, you know, she's just kind of got that little sweet voice. And, you know, Dutch is, you know, kind of looks like Samson with that hair, you know. And Dutch saw Bobby, and his heart just leaped out of his chest, rolled down the aisle here, and Bobby just picked it up in their little sweetness and rolled it right back. And they're married. Isn't that awesome? And what a mighty couple of the Lord. I mean, they're so gracious to us and bless us, Holly and I. I mean, I love you guys so deeply. It's just, can't tell you. It's just a blessing to see what God does. So you single people, turn to somebody and say, hey, there's hope for you. Hallelujah. So Christ is ahead. When the whole body grows, he nourishes the entire body. His intent was never to control or rule. This is not his relationship with the church. He has a loving relationship with the church, not to control or rule. Well, what about that scripture, Pastor? You know, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to the husband. Well, it goes on to say, right, don't get ahead of me there, Madonna. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The word submit there doesn't mean you rule over that person or you control that person or you manipulate that person. The word submit, you know what that word means? It means to get up under that person and to make them the best that they can be. Sometimes, you know, Holly has held me up because we're in this together. In fact, probably more times than I've held her up. But my whole intention in my heart was always to hold her up. And I failed at times. I'll be honest, and thank God for his grace. I am not a perfect pastor. If you find the perfect pastor in the perfect church, go and join it, and then it won't be perfect because you're there. It's amazing. When people put ministry over there, or teacher, or preacher, or pastor, people think you're perfect. No, far from it. Man, it's just God's grace. And it's God's grace for you. It's God's grace for us all. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Man. His intent was never to control or rule over. He is the servant who gives us love. New mercies every morning. Give your spouse new mercies every morning. Turn to them right now and say, you know what, baby? I'm going to give you a break every day. And I don't mean your leg, amen, or your arm. No, I'm going to give you a break, amen. Hallelujah. He is the servant who gives us love, new mercies, and an opportunity to fellowship with him at any time. That's the God we serve. Jesus is our example of servanthood, teaches us what true submission is. Ephesians 5, 21, 23, submit yourself one to another in fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. We just said this, and to the Lord. The husband is what? The head, the leader of that home. Even as Christ is the leader of the church. Not only is he the leader, but he's the savior of that body. So when couples get married and become one flesh, it is important that both people understand the spirit of that true submission is to get under and help each other. Amen? We respect and we serve one another in the body of Christ. Hebrews 13, 8, having reverential fear of God does not mean being afraid of him. He will not punish us or have mood swings. God is not in a bad mood today. In fact, you can't even make him in a bad mood. You know, he doesn't have these mood swings. Man, we are so prone to it. What is it about that, guys? Why do we do that? Why do we lay on this emotional side of us so much and how we're feeling about that situation and our mood, you know, just swings like this? God didn't want you swinging from tree to tree. He wants you living in the tree of life. Not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is the tree of the law. The tree of life is the tree of grace. God didn't want you to be swinging from tree to tree. He wants you living in grace. Grace supplies everything that we have need of. Amen? Out of that spirit. When you're out of that spirit, you will never get mad. When you're living out of the spirit, you'll never have an argument. You know when you're having an argument, it's when your flesh is involved, when your soul man is involved, and it's going against that soulless realm. But if you're living out of the Spirit, you will never have an argument. Well, you might have an argument, but you'll be quick to forgive. Are y'all listening to me this morning? We don't have to experience God's wrath because it's been poured out on Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? Boy, if you get a revelation of that, it will change your life forever. Most people are still living that old covenant thinking, oh, God's going to bop me over the head here pretty soon. God loves you, man. Jesus took the wrath so you wouldn't have to. Husbands who are heads of their wives are their enablers. They bring them to completion in the same way that Christ brings the church to completion. The head of every man, 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we must understand that the head means source or base. Amen? Source or base. When Paul wrote this, he was not thinking of hierarchy or a chain of command. He was thinking of Christ's supreme expression of the servant ministry and of him being original giver of life. Look at Colossians 1:16 and Colossians 2:10. Colossians 1:16. We're going to close here this morning. We're going to close up here, but I want to just share this with you. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and what? For him. Hallelujah. And you are what? Where are you complete? What was that stupid movie that came out? Was it with Tom Cruise? And she said, or he said, you complete me. Jerry, show me the money! Right? You complete me. You had me at first hello. You complete. I'm telling you, you will never find anybody in this life to complete you. They might compete with you, but they will not complete you. Holly made that great point this morning. We talked about that. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're not going to find one man on this earth that's going to complete you. And you don't need to find your better half. You better find a better whole. Oh, I'm looking for my better half. But if you are, then something's missing. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to marry a half a person. I want to marry somebody that's whole in Jesus. I want the whole enchilada. I got it right there. Amen. You don't need to be looking for somebody that's your better half. You need to find that whole person. That person, that's why the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. Why? Because if you marry somebody evangelistically speaking, oh, I'm going to marry them. Ooh, they look so good. Woo! Hot dog. They are tall, dark, and handsome. But you know, they kind of love Jesus a little bit. But I know I can change them. Woo, me and Jesus, we're going to change them. You are going down the wrong road. You know what you'll be doing if your marriage lasts over a year? You'll be pulling them. And that's what the Bible says. When an oxen are equally yoked, they pull together in the same direction. They have power. When one is smaller than the other one's doing all the work. And I've seen marriages where it seems like that woman is always pulling that man to get him to be spiritual. You need to find somebody that's on that level with you, at least somewhere in that vicinity, if you're a single person. Hello? So you can do it together. Not like this. Hey, baby. We need to go this morning to church. Oh, you know, I'm going golfing today, honey. It's a beautiful day. Hey, baby, it's sunny. I'm going fishing today, baby. There's nothing wrong with fishing, golfing, but, you know, I'm going fishing today. Hey, baby, you know what? You'll be doing that all the time. You need to find somebody and say, hey, baby, come on. Let's go. And you go together. Praise God. And you just worship God together. There's such power in that place of unity. Amen? Amen. Is this good stuff? And then you allow grace to live in your life because you did not marry the perfect person. As much as I think Holly is perfect, now I'm telling you, she is. I mean, I don't know anybody, but she allows God to flow through her. She is just amazing. I'm just bragging on you, babe. I'm sorry, guys. Don't be jealous. I mean, I know you think your wife is the same way. If I ask you, you're going to say, oh, she's amazing, right? But just allow grace to work in your marriage. Be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Don't hold those grudges. Release them immediately. Get back in that place of unity. It's better there. Hello, it's better there. It's better. When you're out of sorts, man, get back in sorts. Praise God. It'll do you good. Stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Give God a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Oh, you can do better than that, church. All right, listen to me for five minutes. We got that. Listen to me this morning. What's the quarterback name for the Colts? Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck. Yeah, which league? Andrew Luck. They're down by a touchdown. Actually, they're down by 6 points. Actually, they're down by can you get 5 points? 3 points. But they're backed up on their own goal line at the 5-yard line. Hike the ball. 3 seconds left in the game. Andrew reaches back, and the guy's running down the sideline. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He throws it. The guy reaches out at the 60, grabs it, runs it into the end zone. What does Colt Stadium sound like? And Jesus saved us from death, hell, and the grave, and we're thinking, what? Can we give him a real praise this morning? Woo! Hallelujah! Amen! Man, I like football, but I like Jesus better. Amen? When you come to church, man, don't get petrified. Don't be a piece of wood. It's good to worship the Lord. It's so good. Would you just lift your hands this morning? Let me bless you. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. He's already here. He wants you to know him. You just open up your life. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, coming into my life. I'm a believer now. Thank you, Lord. You died for me, rose from the dead. I receive all that you have for me. If you haven't received this message of grace and you're living in the religious tradition of the law, get out of that. Get over here into grace. That's where Jesus is. He came for you. Amen. Amen. He's got so much for you, so many good things. Let him bless you today. Hallelujah. Let him encourage your heart today. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the precious people that are married here. God, we pray a covering over their marriage, over their families, over their surroundings. God, we thank you, Lord, that they'll walk in your unity of the spirit of love and grace. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here this morning, God. Thank you for all the opportunities you give us this week to be a blessing. Amen. May we be a blessing to many. God, we pray for the single people that are here this morning. God, that you have someone for them. If it's their desire, God, if you put that into their heart, God, you have someone special for them. Give them the ability to wait for that person. Amen. Wait for that lady. Wait for that man. God, who knows? Maybe they're even here this morning. And Lord, you can just put them together. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, you bless unions. You bless marriages. And God, we just praise you for each one. May you give strength and grace to all of our children, to everyone. Lord, we give you praise today. We love you this morning. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Turn around and bless five people and say, I'm blessed. How about you? Amen. Come on. Praise God.